You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum. And joining me on a Monday morning is my guy, Zach Willis. How you been?
I'm good, man. It's been busy. As I told you, we're making hay with Big Deck, but anytime I can hop in here and talk Bison football, I'm always down.
Yeah, not loving not ever having you at the games and stuff, but I understand that bread is bread, and Big Deck's got big things going. We're excited about that.
We'll be back soon. We will be gracing the tailgating lot soon.
All right,
so just got to keep winning now.
So are you guys going to be back selling for round two and round three?
Or no, we will just be celebrating.
Oh yeah, boy,
we're back.
Yet another reason for the Bison to get that dub this Saturday. That's fantastic news. All right, hitting into the news session. We're going to get into this, to be honest with you. All the Valley teams have been the All Valley teams have been announced. The all newcomer team has not yet, but NDSU's not usually a huge part of that. I have a feeling Tamarack has a chance. Honestly, Quincy has a chance.
Yeah.
You know what? He probably doesn't. Thinking of like Oladuke, there's a lot of transfer QBs.
I'd say T-Mac has the best chance.
Yeah, T-Mac probably has the best chance. I wonder if they don't include like anybody who still carries that freshman tag.
Sure.
Maybe it will be interesting. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it on Friday's show because it's going to come out later this week. The game is set for 2:30 p.m. Usually, in the past, what we have gotten at NDSU is pick your time, which is generally 2:30 for North Dakota State.
Yep.
Then kegs and eggs, 11 a.m., quarters, then Friday night semifinal magic.
It's
the best night.
Yeah, and I just love that whole thing, like the playoff experience, even at 11.
Yeah.
Wasn't great as a player, but like, what beats kegs and eggs, man?
We're going to have, especially getting Zach back, folks, like we're going to have.
We're about to throw down in the tailgate.
We're going to have a time, if it ends up being 11 a.m., followed by Friday Night Magic. We're going to have two very different times, but we're going to have some times.
Yes, there will be times ahead.
All right, North Dakota State men's basketball heading to Omaha for a matchup with Creighton. That's a Power 6 matchup. One that the Bison, BPI gives them a 20% roughly chance of winning that game. I'm with you. I think if you play that game five times, NDSU wins once or twice. They've got a real chance. I would love their look if Sam Griesel was going to play.
Sure.
I don't think he is. But that's a bunch of kids. And they're very talented kids. But that entire Sweet 16 team from Creighton is gone.
Yeah. And I think the cool part, like just as an outsider, I never really paid attention to Bison basketball. But now that I'm out of playing football at this time of the year, it's cool to see that they're playing like these. They're sharpening their knives. They're playing some dogs on the road. Yeah. So. And then you have the sprinkled in the guys to get the rotational reps. But, I mean, they're setting themselves up well for the rest of the season.
I mean, it's too bad. Obviously, North Dakota State football used to have these chances.
Right.
But then you win every time. and nobody invites you to their party anymore.
I'm not going to pay you $1 million to come beat me on every weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Our guy, Matt Entz, Valley Coach of the Year. Congratulations to him.
Congrats.
Honestly, I think well-deserved for the way that he handled the quarterback situation, for the way that they bounced back in the spring. I don't know if I can show you on paper, especially with what happened in South Dakota State. You know, I think Bob Nielsen, he probably got second, and I think probably had the best case outside of Matt.
Sure.
But you can't watch what Matt did to Nielsen in the Fargo Dome and be like, okay, Bob's the coach of the year. It's tough, and so congratulations to Coach Entz.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always happy to see him get his flowers, because the stuff that college football coaches have to deal with day in and day out is beyond anything what anybody ever could imagine. So good to see him bounce back through all the adversity, especially after this spring season, and get the boys' head in the right direction.
For sure. Christian Roseboom, confirmed piece of trash.
I mean, we knew that. 2016 was our first taste of that.
So if you guys weren't paying attention to what was going on, I know that, like, in this market, it was Vikings 49ers. By the way, Kirk Cousins, the guy that you line up behind, it's actually the position that you played.
Correct.
He's in the middle of the five offensive linemen.
Yes. The center usually has the ball for the quarterback center exchange.
Full disclosure, I honestly thought, like, oh my God, it's fourth down, and they're going to run a trick play direct snap to Alexander Madison, and there's no way it's going to work. And then Madison runs up and tries to move Kirk over, and it's like, it wasn't a trick play. He just lined up behind the wrong guy.
That was the best part. Like, you, I didn't even realize it until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Madison is like frantically trying to get him over without getting anybody else to jump off sides. I was talking to some guys at work today, and like, it's just more examples of stuff like this where it's like, Kirk can have whatever statistical season he wants.
He's still Kirk.
Yeah. Like, he does not. So I always point to the pictures of, like, the Packers fans in the Cowboys stadium, and they're like, why are they celebrating? There's a minute and a half left.
Yeah.
And then it's like, nobody's ever taking a picture for Kirk. It's never happening.
Oh, man. Anyway, Spencer Rattler hitting the portal right here live on the that's not surprising though.
Do you think Caleb goes to
USC? I think Caleb goes to USC.
How does he not?
You ever been to Norman?
Nope.
You ever been to LA?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
It's fun.
And I, no disrespect to Norman. I hate that, because people dog, like, Green Bay, people dog Fargo, people dog, like, Manhattan, Kansas. I love all three of those places. Love.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Norman, Oklahoma has its charms. It's not the beach. It's not L.A. I think Lincoln and Caleb have the chance to be the kings of that town.
Absolutely. And, you know, ties to NDSU if he takes Mr. Kane with him.
Yeah.
South Carolina or Southern California ties, played at ASU.
That would be a Pac-12. Phenomenal fit for Jamar.
The only way you win in the Pac-12 at USC is recruiting Southern California, and they haven't done that for the past decades.
So. Jamar would be spectacular as the pass rush coach at USC.
He needs to go with.
That would be
amazing. And then they hire Coach O to be interior D-line.
That would also be amazing. That would also be amazing. All
just
right.
Some fever dreams talking right now.
Yeah. So anyway, boy, getting all the way, we've gotten into the weeds here, but basically, Roseboom on the last play of the game, the Rams tried a terrible onside kick where the kicker tried to kick it to himself, did not go the full 8 yards. And then kind of away from the ball, Roseboom just lowered his head and speared starting Packers safety Darnell Savage. It was a very dirty play. Not just people that don't like South Dakota State pointed out online that it was a dirty play, but just really par for the course and what that kid has brought to the table since he got into college football.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously NDSU fans kind of know what he's about, but you know football when you see it, and that wasn't football.
Nope, that wasn't football.
Because that, just a little bit of inside, like, obviously I wasn't on hands team or onside recovery, but that is a position to just go be a wedge buster on onside and, like, move their defender so the ball goes 10, we can recover it. There's a way to do that without doing what Roseboom did. And it was just, I mean, it's, like I said, it's par for the course for him, and it sucks that now, especially in the NFL, it's dudes' livelihoods on the line, and he's still doing it.
And honestly, he's such a marginal professional football player that it's crazy that the Rams, like, value him over somebody else. I mean, he's not playing defense, folks. No. He's just there on specials, and you can get pretty much anybody to do the job that Christian Roseboom does for them. And so for him to be a dirty player while really not having, like, the star. Look, Sue was a dirty player.
Yeah.
But Sue also got 11 sacks from the defensive tackle position.
Dude was up for a Heisman as a D-tackle.
Right, like, being a scumbag when right. when you're on the fringes is, I think, dangerous.
Yeah, I think that's weird, too, because obviously I was never in that position, but, like, guys think they have to do stuff like that to make it in the league, and it's like, just make the plays in front of you.
Right.
And you'll be all right. But
right.
It's just weird that he's, one, still playing with the Rams, because I didn't think he was, like, that great of a professional.
Yeah.
To begin with, and now he's, like, back to Roseboom stuff.
Right, just doing Roseboom stuff.
Yeah.
All right, the All-Valley stuff is out there. Look, I'm not going to, like, you have a chance to read my ballot. I actually got some props, like, from direct rivals to North Dakota State. Got some props from just some folks around the Valley. Like, hey, you actually put some thought into this, and I expected to see 19 Bison and three other players.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that. And that's why, like, when I started it out with Cam Miller, I expected to get the hate.
Yeah.
And Cam doesn't get honorable mention, doesn't get second team, doesn't get
wild
first team.
To me.
I 100% understand what happened.
Yeah.
They decided 4.5 league games and no starts in non-conference was not enough.
Sure.
And frankly, specifically from a statistic point, unless you're talking about, like, cumulative stats, which then you're an idiot. But,
yeah,
like, if you're just talking about stats, on average, whether you're talking about per game, per throw, per play,
mm-hmm.
it's Cam.
Yeah.
So you have just made the executive decision that 4.5 games is not enough.
Right. And I mean, like, I can't argue with you if that's your criteria.
Right. Exactly.
Whatever. But, I mean, Cam's playing as the best quarterback in the league right now.
Right, right. Couple other things that I guess were really different. My guy Jarrell Jackson from Illinois State getting absolutely no love. It's a lot of box score readers that vote on this stuff. Yeah. So you're going to see plenty of safeties at DB, not a ton of the corners, just because safeties get tackles and picks.
Yeah.
And so that's what you can read on a box score. And that's right. what a lot of these voters are doing. You know, super disrespectful, I thought, to the interior of the offensive line. You've got four tackles on the All-Valley first team, and then Xavion Furcron from Southern Illinois did not give any love to my Youngstown boys. Jason Williams got honorable mention, but I really thought, honestly, Zach, that Mike McAllister was the best center in the conference and got no love. Here, going down the list, you know, Gindy honorable mention. I get it. They only did two tight ends. Tucker Kraft was my first team guy. They gave it to Babbo instead of Gindy. You kind of live with that.
Yeah.
As far as NDSU guys that were on my team, though, like, I had, so for me, who I had on my team, I had Michael Tutsi, Jasir Cox, and I only did one team. I did not do a second team. These are all first team guys for me.
Sure.
Michael Tutsi, Jasir Cox, Cody Mauch, Cordell Volson were at 4. Christian Watson were at 5. Hunter Lupke were at 6. And Cam Miller were at 7. Okay, well, Hunter's the first team fullback, check. Christian Watson is 2-time first team, both at all purpose and at wide receiver, check. Cody and Cordell, first team, check. Who am I missing? Cam. Tutsi's first team, check.
Yep.
The guys that I didn't get right from just an NDSU perspective are Jasir Cox, second team, and Cam. Boy, do I have a problem with the Jasir Cox thing.
As you should. I mean, I think that's incredibly disrespectful. I mean, if you're going to talk about just pure seasons and utility, like, the guy doesn't even have a position. That's how good he is. He's just a football player that needs to be on the field. But like you mentioned, you compared him to Logan Backhouse, who was the first team pick at linebacker. And the stats are comparable. And Jasir is doing it out of the slot corner position. and he's still just locking dudes down.
And honestly, they're not that. You talk about impact plays,
right?
Backhouse didn't force a turnover.
Sure,
zero forced fumbles, zero interceptions.
He's just plugging gaps.
Jasir Cox caused four turnovers. Now, honest to God, think they were all in league play. I don't even think those are non-conference turnovers.
Oh yeah,
he forced four turnovers.
Yeah,
and he had more. He had. I know it was just a 1.5 sack more, but he had more sacks.
Yeah.
And he was playing nickel corner.
Yeah, exactly.
He was the highest graded by Pro Football Focus college linebacker in the Valley, bar none, right just a sliver above Jack Cochran, who made first team. Good for them. I'm glad they got Cochran on there. And look, Backhouse, I know he posted about me after they won in Fargo. And
weirdo.
You might think like, oh, this is personal, whatever. This is, you go even just from a box score reader.
Yeah.
From the beat writer at the Western Illinois paper, whatever, the guy that just the play-by-play guy for Southern Illinois. And I'm sure these guys are good guys, but I'm just
sure. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That are just, okay, who had the most this, who had the most that, that's what I'm going to write on my piece of paper. I'm going to get it the hell out of here. Cause yeah. We had a bad season. I don't care here in my All Valley picks, whatever,
which is really too bad because this stuff means something to these guys.
It 100% does.
And you know, you'll get the company line. If you talk to Jasir this week and he'll say, you know,
I don't know. He's going off right now on Twitter.
It'll be about the win, but like,
right.
You want it. Like, I know Gindorf's pissed, but yeah. Like, you want to be an all-conference player no matter yes. what level it is.
And so my issue, I guess, of what I'm saying is like this, of Backhouse's five seasons, is by far his least impactful. He was better as a friend. And look, he was hurt. He missed a league game. He's been limited.
Right.
Very good football player. I didn't think he could take over for Roseboom is why I said that he wasn't that good. I never, like, whatever. I'm not going to get into that whole thing because I've done it a million times yeah. and it's just not that big of a deal. But I just didn't think he could be the level of impact player that Roseboom was. And by the way, this isn't a me versus South Dakota State team. I had Adam Bach first team All Valley.
Right.
I love Adam Bach. He's an awesome football player.
Yeah. I mean, even when we talked about SDSU previewing the game, I was surprised how high you were on a lot of their players. So, I mean, it's not like you're sitting here trashing them because they're jackrabbits.
No, by the way, six jackrabbits on my all-Valley team.
Rightfully so.
Winkleman, Sanders. I think I had the McCormick, the left guard, Pierre Strong, Bach, and then one other guy who had just Tucker Kraft.
Kraft,
yeah. Yeah, so like they got dogs.
Good players.
Right. So, but Backhouse over Jasir is just insane.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is name recognition, but what it turns into is, like, we talked about this before we flipped this on, but, like, just watch the game and see who's yeah. making the impact.
Yeah.
A lot of the voting is just who everybody else tells you is important to, like, the team.
Honestly, I could not tell you if Backhouse played in the NDSU game. And I'm not trying to be an asshole. Right. I truly mean that. Like, I don't know. Same thing, honestly. I watched most of USD-SDSU. I don't know.
I game plan these cats since he's been playing there. It's not like we were super worried about him every time we played.
Sure.
Good player, but like not better than Jasir this year.
No. Anyway, we're done with all that. Let's get
yelling.
Yeah. I just, whatever. I sound like an old man and I'm telling everybody to get off my yard, but no game obviously this week. So we're doing a little bit of a mailbag thing.
Excuse me.
First, I'm going to kind of take these and direct them where they're supposed to go.
Sure.
For example, this is not a question for me. Carter K asks, given that the playoffs coincide with the end of the semester, how do the Bison manage academics during a playoff run? I have not been an NDSU athlete. You have. Go ahead.
Yeah, first off, hottie totty to my guy. Shout out to Carter. He's down at Ole Miss now. But it's really surprising because – you know, the old adage is athlete or student first, athlete second. They really do take that seriously here at NDSU, and they're very accommodating. Like, they move workout times if guys need to study for finals. They accommodate practice, whatever they need to do to make sure. I mean, not everybody's going to the league. So the first goal right. for every man that yeah. comes through the program is to get a degree. A lot of that is just they're very – if you're close on the fringe of something you need to keep passing classes, you're getting the extra help.
Yeah.
That's not by choice. You are getting the extra help. like I said, they're accommodating. It was really impressive, and it was always nice that we never had to worry about, like, fitting academic schedules with football.
All right. Dave R., what would be an area of concern in the playoffs against top competition? Who could be a player that is – all right, so let's take this – this is a two-part question. That's fine because we got feedback. We didn't get a ton, so yeah. we're going to be able to get to everything. What would be an area of concern in the playoffs against top competition? I'm going to take this one first, and then I'll kick it to you. For me, it's going to be that run defense.
Sure.
Just run defense and, I guess, the corners.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, you have to go to losses,
yeah,
to find what concerns you. And if you go back to North Dakota State's last four losses, which would be
SDSU,
SDSU, Sam Houston, and Southern Illinois, they got the ball jammed down their throat.
Yeah,
and then on a couple of those games, they did not cover the pass, especially on the outside, the way that they needed to cover it. So for me, it's. Now, I think it's tremendously unlikely that NDSU and SDSU meet in Frisco.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably a 60-70% chance that NDSU makes it out of this. But then, like, you look at SDSU having to win two road games to get there. Like, it's a better chance than it isn't that they lose one of those two games.
Right.
Or plus there's also the chance that NDSU doesn't go. Like, the odds, while you might think that they are the favorites in each of their brackets,
mm-hmm.
the odds aren't actually that those two teams will meet in Frisco. So right. they probably, but if they did, you would be two games in a row not having any proof that they can stop Davis and Strong.
Right, exactly.
So that's my biggest concern. How about you?
Yeah, I think that run defense is... Like you said, it's almost seemed like it's been in a state of decline towards the end of the season, which is not what you want. I have all faith that that'll get straightened out as we head into crunch time. But first of all, just being an offensive line guy, I want to make sure everything's shored up because that can be the difference in a close game when everything else is null. If your offensive line can dominate the trenches and win TOP, then game's in your hands. But the other thing is the third phase of the game that a lot of people don't talk about, and they've been good this year, but if you need a clutch field goal and you need a good punt to pin them down, have we really seen the situation where it needed to be done? I don't know. And
sure.
I think when the lights are on and it's win or go home, we're going to see if the special teams guys are ready to go.
All right, fair enough. Second part of that question, who could be a player that's off people's radar that could have an impact in the playoffs? I'm going to say Dom Ganella.
Sure.
Because – this has been the Tamarack Show, and you've seen some really cool things from Bussy and on and on and on. People forget how nasty 2-9 is and the fact that 2-9 won the job out of camp.
Dom's a horse, man.
So even if – and honestly, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate bracketing because in theory – My theory would be that if you are the number two team in what is now a 16-team tournament, you should have to play the 15th best team that's left.
Sure.
They're not doing that.
Right.
So, and look, North Dakota State has gotten the sacrifice before. San Diego's been up in here.
Yeah.
You've had
yeah.
the second round game that you know is going to be fine. And so it would be cool to get Ganella a third week
right.
of nothing on his ankle, or technically a fourth week of nothing on his ankle. I don't know as though they can afford to wait on anybody that is able to go.
Sure.
So that's my pick is just flat out, you might see it's been a month because he missed the last two regular season games.
Yep.
You obviously had a bye over Thanksgiving, and now this is a full week of prep. People might not be thinking about Dom Ganella, and all of a sudden, you got a two-headed monster at tailback.
Good luck, man. I mean, I don't even know how many heads are on that monster because you have
the
two power backs that like
right.
have fun meeting them in the ABC gap, and then
right.
have fun trying to tackle Kobe and Bussy,
right?
And then whoever else they trot out there. So I like that pick. It's kind of funny that like we're talking about sleeping on Dom Ganella.
Yeah,
but. And like you said, we haven't seen him in a while, so I think he really could have a breakout and really make his case as like, I'm going to go down as one of the greats here.
Have you got one?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Marquise Siegel.
Yeah. All right.
I think my guy, like, we saw the rotation and kind of figure out who's going where. But I think my guy is really starting to prove that he needs to be on the field. And when crunch time comes, it doesn't matter about reps. It's just time to go. So I think Marquise could have a good postseason.
That was, I think, kind of a line from me is that you could have what Courtney Eubanks had with Marquise Siegel.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. From Trevor G., if you could reduce the playoffs to a certain number of teams, how many would it be, and why is it 20?
I'm going to go with 4 just to piss everybody
off. So, okay, my question is, on 20, so what is that, 4-seeded teams?
Top 4 get a bye.
Interesting.
Right? I'm just thinking and then play it out, and then it's down to 8.
So you get a double bye for the top 4.
Right. Or everybody plays.
This is breaking my brain.
Trev, why didn't you send the bracket if you're going to
talk exactly. about 20? Yeah, exactly. You know what?
I only go on 64s and 24s.
I'm not dealing with Trev right now.
Yeah.
Honestly, but I will say this. I would just fully seed a 16-team tournament.
Yeah.
And just say everybody gets a bye on Thanksgiving.
And truly coordinate it like one is playing the 16th best team in the bracket.
100%.
Like, it really makes the seeds worth it.
Absolutely.
Where we're not playing SIU in the second round.
No, and just give. Honestly, there's a lot of people like, did South Dakota State make money with 3,000 people in their stands?
Right.
With how much it cost? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm not just picking on the Jacks. I'm saying, because I think that's a right. Look, people are not around on Thanksgiving Saturday.
No.
By the way, it's freaking cold.
And
it's not just up here. Like, those Patriot League, CAA,
nobody's
it's cold there too.
Yeah. JMU, all credit to them, good fan base. They're not selling out every playoff game
either. Right.
So I think my biggest problem with the FCS playoffs in its current format is this, like, regionalization thing. It's horrible.
Right.
Just let us play as it should be. I think seeded 1 through 16 is how it should be.
Yeah, and ultimately, too, I mean, again, look, NDSU might not be a part of this problem or part of this conversation for much longer. Who knows? But if they're going to keep losing top teams and the playoff pool is getting thinned out either way, then, yeah, I don't – because I've seen the expansion to 32.
No.
You go down to 16 –
Seed them all.
Send
everybody home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Come back and play football till January.
There we go. We fixed it. Your 20-team idea sucks, yeah, Trevor.
What is 20?
Get out of here. Okay, from Jordan P. Back when Kleiman was here, he mentioned the wear and tear on NDSU players over the course of their career. Do you think this may start affecting teams that went into the spring playoffs? It's interesting because, like, for example, Montana State, well, the whole Big Sky, right, bailed.
Yes.
The Ivy League bailed. Mm-hmm. They're not in the – but, like – there are certainly programs that shut down earlier.
Yeah.
Programs that didn't, I'm sure, I'm not going to go through and look at the 16 teams that are left live on air.
Right.
But I'm sure there are teams in the 16 that either A, didn't make the playoffs, B, shut down early, or C, didn't have a season.
Right.
So that's interesting. I mean, do you think that's going to affect teams?
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, think about all the reps that these guys are adding to their legs, even as freshmen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all cumulative. And like I've talked about this before, your body just has a set number of reps that it will go. So, I mean, if you play an extra season in the middle of the spring,
like, sure,
you're counting up those reps too. You can do all you want as far as nutrition, you know, all this, the training table, all this stuff. But if your body says you have 605 reps to play and you play 605, then the time's over at that point. You know what I mean? So I think that's definitely a thing that could be adding up, and it's going to be the real test of who wins this season is who managed that the best during the spring and throughout recovering for this fall.
Yeah, and you go back and think of, okay, so when does an NDSU season normally end? Roughly on January 10th in general. And then there's spring football, but spring football – and I'm sure you can speak to this. Spring football is very different from a season.
Correct.
So instead of NDSU's season ending on January 10th, it ended on May 2nd.
Yeah.
In Huntsville, Texas. And so
that is a quick turnaround.
It is. It's very different. And usually I know like spring ball ends around my birthday, but nobody cares, but my birthday is April 26th. And in general,
mark that down.
There has been times where like we've had a little birthday party in the tailgate lot for the spring game. Sure. 'Cause it just happens to be on the exact same day, whatever. Yeah. Like, in general, the timelines add up, but they're not the same thing.
It's 15 practices in the spring compared to 5 every week for an entire season. Yes. It's very different.
Yes, yes, yes. So, good question, and honestly, not one we're probably going to be able to answer, but we will find out, you know.
Yeah, it adds a cool dimension to this whole thing of who really managed it the best, and it's another layer that these coaches and training staffs have to worry about.
And the other thing that I found interesting, or the other side of the coin, is how much more ready is Cam Miller because he had
that's
a spring season. How much more ready is Gray? How much more ready is Braylon? How much more ready? Just you go these guys that are Dom Gannella.
Yeah,
you know you talk about these dudes that Cole Wisniewski. Shoot,
right?
He's one of the best players they've got.
This list would go a lot longer than we think it would as far as who got reps in the spring.
Okay, so Montana State didn't get any of those reps.
Right,
their players got zero live reps in the spring. Where's the balance? What matters more? That's an interesting question, too.
Yeah, I think that's going to all play out here in the next few weeks, which I think is going to be pretty cool. But, you know, look at the Mo starts. They started to get their burn. Yes. And, like, now they're one of them was a honorable mention this year for All-Valley. And it's just like, if I was there 2 years ago and you told me the Mo starts were going to be All-Valley by the time they're juniors, I would have told you you're a crazy person.
True juniors, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just cool to see all this development. But like you said, how can you handle adding an extra 1,000 reps to your body?
Right. All right. Blake N., what are some of the differences between from the spring season to now? I'll just give my takes, and then you can get this one. Maybe should have kicked it off, but it's fine. Look, I mean, I think the number one thing is a quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay, like – you are seeing a competent, confident Cam Miller play at a level commensurate with Easton Stick year two. Like, and I know that seems hyperbolic as he is arguably the best player in the history of FCS football. I know not like Jerry Rice. And like, look, I understand what you're saying. I'm talking about, let's not say best, let's say most accomplished.
Sure.
What that kid did.
He literally won the most games. Quarterback aren't a win. Wins aren't a quarterback stat, but I mean, dude just got the job done.
Right. I got absolutely robbed of, I'm, you know what? I'm going to get my blood pressure up. I'm going to get angry.
Do it. Yell.
I'm going to get angry. No, I already got into this stuff with BMAC and Haley and all that. And it was just, Devlin Hodges sucks.
Easton was the best player in the country that year.
Anyway, we are completely off the rails.
Yes.
So, number one thing, quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, even though as disgusted as I was with that group after South Dakota State, because they stunk, the Rams were bad in Brookings, what they did against South Dakota has really given me hope, because they are nasty up front. Like, the Jacks have good players, and NDSU completely dominated that game.
The Yotes, yeah.
USD. Mm-hmm. USD has good players up front, and the offensive line completely dominated that game.
Like, and they're well-coached. Like, it's not a bad program they
play. Right, they've got the number two defense in the Valley, and that was impressive.
Yeah.
Like dominating style, impressive. And we're going to find out some stuff. And folks, you'll notice we haven't previewed Southern Illinois at all.
Mm-mm.
We're not going to.
Yeah.
That's another pod. So, but they'll have another test. I think their second, I think that the kegs and eggs game is going to go a lot easier than.
I was going to say, I think this is the backbreaker if it's going to come. But after that, it's like. Maybe JMU in the semis is the next.
If it's JMU in the semis on Friday Night Fun.
Just prayers that I remember the game.
I mean, sweet Jesus.
You're going to have to carry me out of the press
elevator. Yeah, Peralta, Ryan Peralta, you did not hear any of this. You did not hear any of these words.
Turn it down.
Okay.
I want to give my take on this.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. Yeah. I was just going to ask you for your take.
Sure, yeah, sorry. I think the biggest thing is that we're seeing complementary football again.
Sure.
It looks like Bison football, where when the offense is down, the defense picks them up, vice versa. When something's wrong, special teams comes through when they need to. They're just playing with a little bit of swagger again, where I think it was lost in this spring. But you're not seeing the deer in the headlight looks from the freshmen that are playing now.
Yeah.
They've seen live bullets. They know what college football looks like. And now these dudes are flying around and contributing everywhere.
And I will say this, they're better in the back end, too.
For sure.
We got on, you know, JP and Destin. Courtney's now a full-time player. He's excellent. Jasir is one of the best slot corners in FCS football, which is insane because he's a linebacker, but I mean, he is. Tut looks like Tut, which he did not in the spring. He was beat up.
That made me very happy that he got his nod as
yep.
first team all.
And conference. Dawson has made a jump.
He, and
unfortunately, it's coming a little bit at the expense of my guy, Dom Jones.
Right.
Who is easily the best third safety in FCS football. I mean,
Dom Jones is the number one safety anywhere else in the country.
Dom Jones is giving me like Brian Shepherd vibes. It's right. like, how is this guy not getting on the field? But they're a lot better in the back end this year than they were in the spring.
Both those guys getting healthy has been huge for 100%. Defensive secondary.
100%. Okay. From the Bison logo, it's an anonymous account on Twitter, but he follows us. He's great. I don't know what his name is. So
just go Bison usually logo. Interacts. If you're out there, come say what's up.
Right, exactly. QB2, I haven't seen Quincy throw a single pass in two games coming in relief. I get the game dictates play call, but I'm the only one concerned about the one-dimensional stuff QB2 is putting on tape. Is his arm health limiting the play call? We just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, if it's his throwing shoulder, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to run him either if that's hurt. You know what I mean? Like, to have him heavily in the run game if his shoulder is hurt, that because you're still hitting guys, you're still falling on it. Like,
yeah,
that would just be my, like, common sense look at it. But
he's also coming in up 30.
Exactly. And, like, we know how coaches respond to – I don't think it's anything to worry about.
No.
It's just – And the other thing, too, is like
I think they're blessed, by the way, to have an excellent backup quarterback situation.
For sure. And think about the fact if he goes in there and goes 3 for 12, who does that help when they're right. at 30?
So No. For sure. Yeah. For sure. And honestly, too, the other thing to think about is if they can get through this game and then they can get through the layup that we talked about that we think is potentially coming in the quarters,
mm-hmm.
well, then you can use 15.
Right.
However much you want.
Yeah.
And does that mean that, okay, as soon as Cole Payton's four-game rule is no longer worried about, that he jumps Quincy? No, that's not what that means. But you just have another option that you trust and that you're not, like, afraid of.
In the fact that, like, then you can really cut Quincy loose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, because if you get in a situation where, God forbid, but like, let's say something happens to Cam in a semifinal win.
Right.
You have no limitations on Quincy and Frisco.
No.
Because you just put Cole Payton in there.
And like, kid can play too. He's proven that. So I think we talked about this in the very, very beginning of the season, you know, the non-con kind of cupcake games, but I think they played their cards right with Cole.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Some bum named Tyson W. Never heard of him.
Me either. I hear about him.
Serious question: How much does the loss in the spring drive the Bison? And if it does, is the 24-hour rule a myth?
I think the 24-hour rule is not a myth because there's no other choice at North Dakota State because Sunday you're watching film for the next opponent.
Yeah, you're in meetings.
I mean, it's forced that you never get too high or too low.
So can I ask just a technical question?
Sure.
When does the corrective film happen, loss or win? Mm-hmm. When does the corrective film happen from the prior game?
It depended on the coaching group you're with.
Okay.
Either you got together and watched it on Sunday without the coach there. He would send his notes and then the guys would watch it. You know, we always had Cordell running film and then we had notes from everybody. Or Monday before practice, you watch, like, here's what we need to fix as far as communication things, not necessarily breaking down entire game, but, like...
Not Coach 30 stuff?
No, yeah. No, yeah.
Just not an athlete?
Yeah. I mean, I was there. Trust me. But that's where all that stuff goes in. You get a very loose game plan Monday afternoon for upcoming opponent, and then Monday is kind of get your legs back under you, see what's working against a scout team defense, and then you kind of crank it back up, get the full playbook on Tuesday throughout the regular week.
Anyway, continue on with the question. I just had to get I've always kind of wondered that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think the 24-hour, I think those are such extreme emotions as far as how high you get in a win and how low you get in a loss, especially like the one we had against Southern Illinois in the spring. I think it's more the fact that you just never want that feeling again. It's not necessarily that feeling that you feel the entire time. You're just like, we're going to work so we don't feel this again. I would say that SDSU and then losing the semis fueled this team more than the SIU loss because that was kind of chalked up as like, you know, certainly not our best day.
Right.
And we don't want to lose games like that, but it is what it is. So,
well, and I'll just kind of wrap up, even though, I mean, obviously you're the player, you're the one that has the inside track on this, but my thought on that is just, you guys are humans.
Right.
So, yes, the 24-hour rule exists. It's not a myth, but it really only applies to that week and that season. Right. Once you get eliminated by Sam Houston State, you remember getting your ass kicked by Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
You remember losing to the Jacks. You remember them dancing on your field. You remember, like, you're aware of all of that right. stuff, but it didn't change the prep during the week. And you're also not prepping for Sam Houston State thinking about the losses to SIU and SDSU.
Exactly. And because it doesn't matter. I mean, what is losing to SDSU? What are you going to fix from that loss against SDSU to beat Sam Houston?
Right.
The 24-hour rule only applies when you have another game the next week.
Yes. All right. Well, there's your answer. That, honestly, right there is your answer. The 24-hour rule applies when you have a game that week.
It just took me a little bit to get there.
That's fine. That's fine. All right. We are now going to make a phone call to the wonderful Nate Zastro. We're going to talk to him a little bit about the win over Idaho from men's basketball on Saturday. And we are also going to preview the upcoming game against the Creighton Blue Jays. All right, bringing on Nate Zastro, North Dakota State. Men's basketball analyst here on Bison Report. Nate, give me a couple of high-level takeaways from that blowout victory over Idaho.
You know, it was good for to see the offense kind of be sparked a little bit. Early on, they just weren't playing very well. They weren't hitting shots. And it was good to see some balls go in. They still didn't shoot great from three. It was good to see them take the ball to the basket, especially I thought Tyree Edey played very well, and they're going to need him. He hadn't played well in the previous game, so it was good to see some from him. And then those front court players, I mean, if NDSU starts the game playing through them, I think they'll have some success here going forward.
What did you make of the backcourt rotation? I thought it was interesting that Bowden Skunberg's minutes got reduced greatly, Des McKinney's minutes got reduced greatly, and you saw a lot of Andrew Coleman and Willie Guy.
Yeah, and I think Coach Richmond, what he said post-game, is probably going to be how it'll be going forward. It's going to be different guys, different games, for different matchups and different scenarios. Until one of those guys maybe steps forward and kind of takes the bull by the horns and just says it's my job, I think it's going to be kind of a rotational thing like it's been here at the start of the year until a couple guys step forward and just want those minutes.
Absolutely. What can you learn from a game against a team like that, though, that is one of the worst teams in Division One, and kind of, is that just sort of reps? You know, cause I know reps is kind of a football term, but is that just reps that a team gets to play 40 minutes together and kind of figure out what they're all about?
Yeah, and you're still playing someone with a different jersey on, and it still counts in the win-loss column, and it was great to see Richmond go through a couple different lineups, and it's just about guys getting used to playing. It's different when the lights are on than in practice, and just like you said, getting those reps and game action with different groups against someone different is always important. It doesn't matter who you're playing.
If you had to guess, how does this rotation change when Griesel's available? Because that's what's fascinating to me. I always thought that Richmond, even as deep as this team is, would only go to 9. And they're at 9 now with obviously potentially their most, not best, because I think Rocky's probably the best player, but potentially their most important player is coming back at some point. So what are your thoughts on what that might look like?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. And I think I talked about it post-game with Idaho. They played 10 guys without Griesel even being back. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Richmond's never really gone more than 8 deep in any of the years that he's been the head coach. So there's going to be some guys left out, and it's going to be, I think the team chemistry is good enough that they're mostly worried about winning and not really about their individual accolades or individual playing time. So hopefully the group still stays together once that happens. I don't think Sam's going to be thrown in there playing 30, 35 minutes. So there's still going to be some minutes for those guards, and like I just said earlier, it's going to be about one or two of them just stepping up and saying, hey, these are my minutes, and kind of take a step forward.
Nate, this Creighton team that they're playing on Tuesday, BPI gives them about a 20% chance to win this game. I'm with that. I mean, they barely escaped against Southern Illinois, barely escaped against SIU Edwardsville. They are a very talented, very young team. This is a group of grown men from Fargo heading down to Omaha. Talk to me about this Blue Jay squad.
You know, it's an interesting matchup, and Creighton really hasn't played anyone very good here to start the year, and nor have they won very handily against teams that they have typically just blown out. I mean, they beat Nebraska by 8. Nebraska's not very good. They played a good Colorado State team, lost by 14. They're really young, but McDermott can develop players with the best of them, and Nemhard, the guard, he was ranked 62 in the last year's class as their freshman. Leading scorer, really good player. His brother's the point guard at Gonzaga. They have a couple other freshmen that they play. They got O'Connell, the transfer from Duke. Kalk Brenner is the big guy from last year. He played limited minutes. He's playing a little bit more this year. Definitely a vulnerable team for an experienced bunch like NDSU. If they hit some shots and get some stuff going early, they can put some pressure on Creighton.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the key because Creighton still has a little bit of length and just their ability. If they can shoot at 35, 36, 37% from three, I think they win the game. And they haven't proven that they can do that yet. But these guys are guys that can shoot. We just need to see the ball actually go through the net a little bit. Nate, I'm going to wait on your prediction for folks to read on tomorrow's version of Bison Report. But what are you really looking for from this NDSU team? What do you want to see from the Bison in Omaha?
I think you look at the Idaho as an opponent. They're not a very good team. The offense obviously played very well. I'd like to see the offense keep taking steps forward. Now, I'm not saying they need to score 90, but just keep improving. They're going to have to hit threes to beat a team like Creighton. And 3 for 19 isn't really going to cut it. They're probably not going to have the low post matchups like they would against other mid-majors. So like you said, they're going to have to hit probably 8, 10, 12 threes to really have a chance in that one. And they sure put up plenty, it seems, when teams have some length on them. But just keep playing well offensively. I think their defense is going to be really good. Their experience, if they can make it a half-court game and not try to play a shootout against Creighton, even though they're young, will be to their advantage. Creighton's averaging about 73 points a game still with a very young roster.
All right, Nate, we appreciate you. Thank you, buddy.
Have a good one. Thanks.
All right, I want to thank Nate for his time. We want to thank Zach Willis for making himself available as well. We want to thank the Big Deck Barbecue Company for being the title sponsor of this here program. Folks, if you liked what you heard, get on Spotify, get on Apple Podcasts, and give us a 5-star review. Leave a written review. It really helps us in their respective algorithms, and we would appreciate that. Have a phenomenal week, and go Bison.